Hey everyone, Jabailey here with the next episode of your podcast. It is December 27th, 2018, of course. We're getting towards the end of the year. What a year it's been. But I was recently in India for DreamHack Mumbai, which is the capital city of, or the financial capital of India. And of course, you know, when you think about India or a city, you're like, is that near Taj Mahal? Fortunately, it wasn't. Taj Mahal is near New Delhi, or Delhi as they call it, which is their main capital and their biggest city. And that was like, I think like a 2 hour or 1 hour flight away, but didn't have time because I had to come back in time for Christmas. A little bit about that. But yeah, hope you all had a great Christmas. Actually, straight to it, I was so jet lagged over the last month, as you know, many of you have been listening. I went from, you know, Sweden to Dubai. Dubai was a great vacation. I sorely needed it. I had an amazing time with family, and then had to fly back to Orlando to check in on my house and stuff, and then go straight to Las Vegas to watch CJ Truth compete at Capcom Cup, which I had a great time at Capcom Cup. On the CEO level of things, had to meet up with Capcom Pro Tour stuff and some people that are working on the next year. So I did a bit of networking as well, catching up with some good friends. And, you know, Capcom Cup was awesome. Unfortunately, CJ Truth, you know, my protege, he went 0-2. Had to fight a Kamimir in Shanghai, and he lost, and I think he was just really nervous. But he qualified, you know. They, I think even all top 32 got paid. It was a learning experience for him, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that tournament was pretty crazy, seeing Street Fighter V play at a high level, and really enjoyed it. Actually, all the matches were amazing. Gachi-kun was kind of nobody expected, but after he didn't lose a single match going into the second day, we kind of saw it coming that he was going to do well. And hopefully, you know, Justin Wong is one of my good friends and player, one of the best players in the world. We thought he was going to make it all the way through, but he unfortunately fell to Abigail. And then yeah, so Capcom Cup was great though, but had to fly there and then take an overnight flight, Sunday night, land at 5 a.m. Monday morning, go home, change, repack, and then go straight to India. It was like a 1:30 p.m. flight, and that was about 22 hours of travel time. And I left on a Monday afternoon. I landed there their time at like 8:15 p.m. But India was awesome. I've always been a fan of India. You know, I had some really good best friends from India in my younger years. Nish and Raja are good friends of mine. We'd always, you know, go partying, smoke hookah, which I don't really do anymore, and you know, eat lavish dinners and Indian food. And they worked in the restaurant industry and service industry, and they drove fancy cars, and good friends of mine. I haven't seen them in a few years though. But so India, the reason I was there is DreamHack. They work with a lot of other events and gaming events and partner up. And there's a company, not sure the name, but they have been, you know, trying to build gaming events in India because obviously it's one of the biggest countries in the world. And they kind of signed on to have the DreamHack name and licensing and stuff be a part of that. And then they took, you know, note from some of the heads of DreamHack to do the event the way we would, you know, anywhere else in the world. And fighting games over there, they have an amazing group of people. B3, one of the best players, he kind of ran the show and put it together. And they, you know, they're like, hey, we'd love to have Alex Jabailey out here. We're gonna have Tekken, Street Fighter, and over there, Tekken's actually their big game. Smash Brothers, they had Ultimate. I had some locals hit me up, like, you know, Nintendo's not very popular here, and it's really hard to get the systems, but we would love to have a chance to show Smash to India and stuff. And so because of my suggestion, just, you know, we have the space, let's give it to them to bring Smash, and they provide the equipment. So shout outs to Quirtz and everyone else from the Smash community that came out. Had about 32 entrants, which, you know, by world standards or America standards, that's very low. But for India, it was great for them. Tekken, I think, hit almost 90. Street Fighter had about 40, 42 players. So again, very small, but they had some really cool prize pools of $7,500 US each. Over there, they call their currency rupees. I don't even remember the math, honestly, but the food is so dirt cheap there. It's incredible. I think like 100 rupees is like 14 cents or something along that line. So not a very easy conversion, but You know, everyone over there knows the conversion, but I'm getting lost on all these countries I'm going to and their conversions. And, you know, back in the 90s, when I used to go to Lebanon all the time, like American dollars would work. Now, like, you know, sometimes ours is more powerful than theirs, but everyone has their own currency and they stick to it. Or a place like Sweden, which uses pretty much credit cards. But got to India, you know, they invited me out. They took care of me, had a driver pick me up from the airport. So they really treated me with a lot of respect. And leading up to the event, you know, I had met them at DreamHack Sweden, the people in charge, DreamHack Atlanta, and they're just like, hey, what do we, you know, what's the best way to lay this out? This is the space we have. How do we update systems? So they were very responsive to my feedback and, you know, have everything set up. But then once I was there, I was just there to pretty much oversee the tournaments. I'm the one who put the brackets together. But they had some incredible people. They had a whole admin team that I taught literally how to run brackets the night before, and they killed it. There wasn't a single flub or mess up or anything at all. There were some like judgment calls I had to make. So in terms of the tournament, from like a rule standpoint, I was actually in charge of like the final rulings. And there was a time where a pause happened and we couldn't confirm who had done it. So we had to replay the match after we literally went back through to see that, you know, if you press the home button, whether it's the second player who did it or the first player who did it, it'll always say one player pause within Street Fighter V. So we had to replay because of that, because we had no replay or timer to go back and see the profile that had loaded up. But, you know, a player was already ahead, and that tournament was actually really great. All of them were awesome. But once I got there, I'm going to be totally honest with you on like how this event came to be. It was a huge hall, and it was funny because it was actually next door to Comic-Con Mumbai, which was like the eighth year there. So I got to check that out too. It was like a double whammy in the same weekend. But this hall that they were in. So imagine if you remember CO 2010, we were in like a warehouse. It was similar to that, but much, much bigger. Actually, I think their space was about the same as the CO Daytona main ballroom space, about 100,000 square feet or 30,000 meters, as they would say. And when I went in there, it was so like dusty, and not dirty, but like dusty. It was just, imagine like an indoor desert almost of dust. And I'm in there, I'm like, this cannot possibly be the venue. And they're like, oh no, don't worry, it'll all be cleaned up by, you know, Friday before the show starts and everything. And it was kind of hot. It wasn't too hot, thank God, because obviously December, but you know, it was like 70, 75 degrees. But I walked in there and it looked just like any other DreamHack show. Like they had the main stage rigging, the light show that they do with awesome music. They had a couple booths there. They had like a Corsair booth, an Alienware booth, merchandise, you know, the whole nine. So they really kind of mimicked how DreamHack would run anywhere else. But over there, they had some like unique stuff. Like they had a World Cricket Championships, the game cricket, which is kind of like, you know, basketball almost with a bat. And that was awesome to see. They had like cheerleaders cheering on between the matches and stuff. CSGO there, they had a big CSGO. I'm sorry, not CSGO, PUBG. And it was on mobile. They literally had like 60 phones all synced up and people playing, and the game looked almost as good as like the PC version. And you know, they had that. And then we had the KO Fight Night, which was honestly awesome. They put it really well put together, gave me even stage ideas to do back in America. And they had like an Indian trophy and stuff. But so we're there, and like I had to wear a face mask because I, you know, when I travel these other countries, I kind of try not to get sick and do my best. And everyone always warns you about India, like avoid the water, you know, stay, you know, don't have the ice because it comes from the same place, obviously, and stuff. So luckily did not get sick, and boy did I eat their Indian food. I was so impressed with their Indian food, and I've always been a fan of Indian food. I'm not a fan of like purposely spicy food, as I like to call it. Like if something's spicy, I'll have it, but I'm not the type of guy like, oh, let me add some sriracha or, you know, some hot peppers to it, chili peppers or something. I try to avoid it. But you know, their food was like mildly spicy that I had, and it kind of, once I had it over there, I'm like, come back here, I'm like, oh, this is nothing. But the hotel we'd stayed at was called like the Fern Gorgon, and it was awesome. It was only about a kilometer or about a mile from the venue. I actually walked back one of these because I like going to other cities and walking by myself and experiencing, you know, what it's like. And again, the venue. So, you know, after everything was like set, they're like, don't worry, you know, Thursday night, we're going to have people come clean up. They literally had like 500 Indian workers basically come in and like sweep, dust, vacuum, all of it. So Friday morning, when I came back in for day one, I was like, wow, this looks like a totally new place. Obviously like kind of in corners and stuff, you could still see some dust and such, but it looked great. They had a really good turnout. I think they had about a couple thousand people, But the FGC side, again, Friday we kind of did casuals. Saturday, Sunday were the tournaments. Saturday kind of ran long because they broadcast in a different way. So they unfortunately didn't have it on like a Twitch or YouTube you'd be used to. But they have a Viacom. If you know Viacom, huge company. They own MTV. They actually used to own Blockbuster Video. They're a parent company to a lot of stuff in the movie industry as well. And because they kind of paid for the rights to stream the events and everything, it was on their own channel, which was only broadcast within India. So I'm trying to get the VODs up. But level of play was actually pretty good, especially Tekken. They had Tejan. He destroyed me. They had me like doing these exhibitions on Friday and hosting. And they had an awesome MC. She was great and introducing me and talking to the crowd. We usually had about a crowd of like 50 to 100 people. And everybody was really, really welcoming. But they did it like it was a live like TV show kind of broadcast, which was really cool. So they took it very seriously, which kind of delays things from the tournament front. But it took a while Sunday to finish, and I kind of had to leave to catch a 10 p.m. flight to come back to America so I can make, you know, Christmas Eve with the family and such. But overall, it ran really well. The staff was awesome. I must have taken like 300 selfies with people coming up to you because, you know, they've never really had anybody from outside the country. And, you know, I'm not the best of players anymore, but I can still play and have a good time with everybody and teach and mentor. And so I played, I must have played against like 50 different people that were just like, can we play? I'm like, of course. So I was there to oversee stuff. Street Fighter, obviously, that's the game I care most about from like a spectator and player standpoint. So there's a kid who ended up winning, and all these names, it's so hard to remember. You know, when you go to these other countries, it's totally different names, like Bagwant, Ashkshat, all these different names. Katik, awesome guy who took care of me. I actually ended up leaving my Vitrix Pro prototype stick with him as a gift because I could just get another one when they go to production and stuff. So he was really happy with that because it's hard for them to get stuff. They kind of have to go to like a place like Dubai, which is like a 3-hour flight away to get the you know, these consoles and systems and stuff. So, but it's gaming over in India is the same as anywhere else. And I did about like 4 interviews with some of their really big publications, and there's like, what is it, you know, what's esports like, how do you compare esports in India to other places? And honestly, I was like, it's not much different, guys. Everyone here just wants to play games, they want to have fun, they like to win money, you know, and network with people. And it was just really cool to be a part of this new community, to me at least. And just, you know, they're just as excited to game and all that. And, you know, I was telling a few people how they want to grow gaming over there, because obviously with nearly a billion people living in India, it's a no-brainer. So it was really cool to kind of experience that and hang out with that community. And, you know, they're very welcoming. The food there, again, was just so dirt cheap. So most of the nights, or the days actually, I was still a little jet lagged, so I was tired and kind of taking breaks. And they actually gave me my own like pop-up office behind the stage that only I could go in, or whoever I let in there, which I didn't really need to be in much because I was always on the floor interacting with people and stuff. But, you know, it was just cool to be in India for the first time and experience what a community like in another, you know, not third world country. India is just as big as anywhere else, but just somewhere different. But everyone was pretty much the same. They were hungry. So the kid who ended up winning, he's like a 19-year-old kid who's the youngest player there. I kind of coached him through the tournament. And my favorite part, like I was telling him, like, this is, he's like, what can I do better? When I played, he played against me, and he listened to some of my advice. I'm like, stop wasting your EX bar when you don't need to. When you have like a full life lead and it's not going to kill, you don't need it. And little things like that, I can pretty much pick apart how people play, even if I don't play the game anymore. But he ended up winning, and his dad was so ecstatic. His dad was there the whole weekend watching him. A lot of parents were there actually in the crowd watching, or wives. Like, it was really cool how supportive they were over there. And after he won, you know, his father and the kid, the father didn't speak English, so the kid would translate. And the whole time, they're like, please come to our house for dinner tonight or sometime and stay with us. I'm like, I have to go back. But it was a really cool experience that. But the father looked at me, and he was just so happy for his son to win something. That just made me happy. And he goes, in, you know, in Indian English accent, he's like, my son's wish is my wish. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard from a parent about gaming. And basically, you know, saying that whatever his son wants that makes him happy will make him happy too. And it was really, really cool to see that. A lot of matches were like resets and stuff, and every match was actually pretty close. And then Tekken again, huge over there. I had to leave before Tekken had finished because it was the biggest game, but Smash Ultimate was cool. I actually got to sit down and play with real players, not online, while I was there. So I was learning some stuff with Simon, who I'm using from the Castlevania series, but just anywhere else. So Quirtz, again, man, if you're listening, thanks so much for helping us out with all those setups and unlocking everything with your friends the night before to make sure it ran smooth. But from a tournament standpoint, everything ran really well. B3, who was one of their best Street Fighter players, I think he got fourth place in the tournament, though, because he was running back and forth between the production, you know, setting stage times, call times for commentators and all that, and then trying to play at the same time. But he pretty much handled the whole thing. I was just there to help him out, give him advice and stuff. Brackets got handled by the admins there, so it was a blessing, man, to just be over there and kind of oversee a tournament, kind of how it should be, right? When you've been doing this for like 10 years, you know, you have that budget to pay other people to do what the grunt work, which I still love doing. I can run a bracket just as good as anybody else still. But it was really cool just to be somewhere and be respected and appreciated, and you know, just people coming like, hey, can you play a game with me? Tell me how to do better. And then obviously signing stuff was cool and meeting everybody. But again, back to India. So India, you know, the one thing they tell you about is like the traffic. It's like China almost, or the same thing. But India was nuts. I remember every time I was in a car, you literally like, you kind of fear for your life. But me growing up in the Middle East, I've been around that kind of driving. But imagine a 3-lane road or a 4-lane highway is like an 8 or 9-lane highway, but without lanes. And like you have bikes on your left side, you have what they call the auto rickshaws, which are basically 3-wheelers that can kind of fit 2 people in a little, like they probably don't go more than 50 miles an hour, but they're all over the place and they're dirt cheap to ride. And God, I was taking an Uber from like the hotel and back. It was like $2 American. Food. I went to their McDonald's there, and in Mumbai, they don't serve any beef anywhere. It's a cultural thing. So every restaurant's, you know, spicy chicken sandwich or Maharaja Mac, as they called it, Maharaja Burger, sorry, is like their Big Mac, but with chicken. It was really cool. But the hotel I'd stayed at, they had like a breakfast buffet, lunch, dinner buffet, and I pretty much ate there almost every night, and it was incredible. It was better than any hotel buffet I'd ever been to. And Minaj was the server, and he was there almost every time I went in. And he would like literally bring stuff from the back that wasn't out there just so I could try it. And you know, if you like Indian food, garlic naan is, I think, hands down like top 3 breads you can get with any meal. Chicken tikka, they kind of joke about it. It's like a British infused dish, so it's not authentic to India. But I had all these things, I don't even remember the names, but basically all kinds of chicken with sauces. And then they had these like little donut balls. I'm forgetting the name, sorry guys, but it was really freaking good, and I did not get sick from any of it. I wasn't on the toilet as you'd expect with Indian food. Like I literally, and I made a tweet, I don't know if you guys saw, but I was like, I'm about to do the biggest risk of my life, eat an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet 24 hours before flying home for 20 hours. And I was normal, man. I got home. I didn't die or anything. I wasn't having the sweats on the plane. And so I missed that food already. Now come back to America. Indian food in America is actually, it's almost comparable to there, honestly, but just something about being in that country and enjoying that food that you know, everyone talks about, like, yeah, I love Indian food. But again, spiciness comes with just adding all the additives they would have there and stuff. But walking, you know, at night, I would walk from the venue to the hotel, and I literally, you're maybe have like 3 feet of space on the side, and I'm still limping from my ankle, walking back, and my foot friggin' swells up. I actually have a meeting with a 6-month checkup with the surgeon on Friday, and today's Wednesday or Thursday, tomorrow, shoot. But it was kind of scary to watch. You have to watch your back. You got to mind your own business. There's no, obviously, walk lights to cross the street. So I took a video. I like Instagram of like me crossing the street. And you literally are avoiding like trucks coming at you. And obviously they pay attention, not hit you, but you got to be on your guard and walk and respect the rules of the road basically over there to get around. But everyone was really, really super nice in India. My only issue I had with India was like at the airport or when you're in like a restaurant, like people don't, they kind of invade your personal space. Like everyone's all so close together. But like just without any care in the world, or like when I was leaving India going through like security, people were like skipping me as if I didn't exist. And I'm like twice the size of everyone. So like, I almost got like frustrated. Like what the, like, you know, as I was unpacking my laptop for my bag to go through security and stuff. But overall, India is an amazing country to visit. I definitely suggest going there. And I walked through like their mall, and again, everything over there is a lot smaller than it is anywhere else, but a lot more packed. But the people, really amazing, really impressed with the culture. Again, shout outs to B3, all the guys that were doing the production. Forgive me, there was the streamer there. He's basically the equivalent of Team Spooky on how he used to work a one-man show doing the entire stream, and he killed it. So I was very impressed to go there. And, you know, it's scary as a tournament organizer to go to a completely new country and see how they run things and not stress about it and stuff. But obviously with the lower numbers, it makes it a lot easier to manage and handle stuff. But their whole team killed it. A couple of the other DreamHack guys were there too, like the head guys, the CEO and CFO and stuff like that were there hanging out and kind of making sure everything ran well as well. But overall, you know, walking around, it was really cool to see the Indian people just excited to have some major gaming event there. I think it was Saturday. I had like 2 hours to kill. The guys that were a part of DreamHack, they've actually worked with like the Comic-Con there. And so they introduced me to one of the founders of the event, not founder of Comic-Con, but like founder of bringing it to India. And so he gave me a private tour of the Comic-Con Mumbai. And it wasn't that huge, like as a San Diego or New York Comic-Con, but they had some really cool like bootleg Indian bobbleheads of characters. I posted a Twitter picture a couple days ago about it was just really cool to just kind of pick up some stuff from there that made me feel like I was somewhere else. And, you know, they had these, I asked them, like, hey, can I get that VIP bag? Like, it was sold out, but the owner, they had backups. They gave me one that had like a comic book and a Mumbai poster and a really cool Infinity Gauntlet t-shirt, which is like three sizes too small for me. Their double XL doesn't fit me in India. I have to get a triple XL according to their sizes, which is, I wear like an XL here, but I'm starting to lose weight again now that I can finally do cardio on my leg and stuff. So I'll be hopefully back to a large by CEO next year. It's hard at this age, guys. You got to eat right all the time. And I don't like to eat right when I'm traveling, because you're traveling, you're on vacation, you deserve to pig out and stuff. But it's starting to take its toll. So, you know, India was great. I would have stayed a couple more days, but it was Christmas week, unfortunately. So I wanted to be home with family. But I kind of, the last month of flying, like, it's not really complaining, just it's really taking its toll. So I got to manage my time better next year, going to different events and stuff, and where I go, and, you know, potentially saying no to some events. Like, guys, I just need me time. But I'm actually going to Japan in 2 days for a couple meetings, actually CEO related. And also just to have fun, because I love Japan. It was dirt cheap flight. I got a flight from Orlando for New Year's week for like $650. It's normally like $1,200 to $1,300. And then the hotel is like $90 a night in Akihabara. I'll do a Japan podcast and talk about all the cool stuff. And, you know, this will be my third time going, but the first time I went, I was with Mike Ross, Justin Wong, and Cool Gray AJ, who is a player manager for Evil Geniuses, and then some other teams as well. But I had such a great time. Justin Wong is probably the best guy you can ever travel with. He showed me so many places. And then I know people like, you know, Bass, who's the CVS2 champion, a legend. He would take me around. I'll probably see him. I'm going mostly for Kenny Omega's Wrestle Kingdom 13. Kenny Omega's in the main event against Tanahashi. So that's going to be really awesome to see. The jet lag killed me. I came back home. I literally landed like 10:30 a.m. on Monday. Christmas Eve family dinner was at 6 p.m. I had been craving pizza because I haven't had a good like pizza in about a month and a half, because overseas pizzas are kind of different. So, you know, as much as people hate Papa John's, that's kind of my go-to from time to time. So I just get like a cheese with chicken. So I literally got a pizza, ate half of it. I passed out at like 12:30. I woke up at 9 p.m. I literally could not get out of bed. Like, I literally was asleep for that long straight. And I usually don't sleep when I'm not traveling. I don't sleep more than like 4 or 5 hours a night. And so I woke up to like 100 texts from my family, like, where are you? Are you okay? My mom kind of knew. I warned her I'm really tired and stuff. So I literally got up, rushed over to say hi, you know, and have dessert with the family. And then she gave me awesome leftovers because my mom's an amazing cook. And then see the kids, the niece and nephew, open presents and stuff. And so I missed that, unfortunately. And then so I went there. I came back home around like 9:30, 10:00. I fell back asleep. I did not wake up until like 11 a.m. the next morning. And then it literally took me like 2 full days to recover from all that jet lag of going. I think I went back and forth across the Atlantic like 3 times in a 2-week span. So really takes its toll. Like, you just can't control it, you know. And, you know, India being like, and it's weird because India's time zone wasn't like a flat, like 12 hours ahead or 13 hours. It was like 12 and a half hours ahead. For some reason, their time zone is like a 30 minute difference from everywhere else. So when I would like, hey, is it, you know, 11 hours? Like, no, it's like, I was like 8:45 there, which was like 7:45 a.m. over here and stuff. So, but all that flying kind of killed me, but India was definitely worth it. I really appreciate Akshat and all those guys bringing me out there to be a part of that event, and giving me an opportunity to check out another country, and do an event. And, you know, this year was professionally one of my best years, honestly. I wish I didn't tear my Achilles heel, but I still managed to survive all these events and plan and direct. And, you know, between all the DreamHack events, giving people opportunities to do that, to, you know, CEO doing well, the New Japan Wrestling show, you know, and having Smash Ultimate playable before the game was out. Just so many things I was able to accomplish this year. And sometimes every year people are like, how are you going to top this year? I'm like, I don't know, but somehow some opportunity I get blessed with, you know, once the year starts for CEO. So especially with all the new games coming out. And now my goal is just to keep growing CEO, keep growing the DreamHack brand, for fighting games, and just be the guy that's known as the most trustworthy, like TO, that can run multiple events and get more people opportunities to, you know, work these events and stuff. And things have kind of been crazy. I don't know if, you know, you guys are listening, care to hear stuff like this, but always give me feedback at like ceogaming@gmail.com. But like, Dragon Ball, you know, potentially being canceled at some events and stuff. And it's not everything's what it seems. It's less of stuff getting canceled and more of like needing official approval, and without it, you can't do much. So I think it's situations like that will kind of start to, you know, show more as FGC continues to grow and people are understanding that these devs, you know, they make these games, but they are their IP rights and stuff. So they have approval processes. You know, if TOs are making money from these games, then something's going to give sooner or later. But, you know, a lot of us, we don't profit as much as people think. Like, I risk everything doing CEO over here. Like, it's in the six figures. And, you know, just, and I'm blessed to have the attendance pretty much cover it, plus the sponsors of the event and the development tours that I get to do, all the stuff that, you know, takes care of everybody putting on these events. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's a labor of love. We're really doing this and we're trying to grow a business and do it. But I tell people, like, if CEO is doing great, but if CEO is doing amazing financially, then I wouldn't be working with DreamHack or doing all these other jobs on the side and stuff. So, I do this because I love it and, you know, and have fun with it. But, yeah, that pretty much explains that. But, you know, I'll start talking more about this stuff, especially next whole podcast will be around the time I launched CEO 2019 registration. So I'd love to do a podcast on like how I decide exactly what games go into CEO, give you kind of an insight on how, you know, deciding at the equipment, the development support, the community support, you know, and seeing what games people play. And, you know, I think next year is going to be a really big year. Combo Breaker, my best friend Rick's event in Chicago, his hotel sold out on the first day really fast. CEO, our hotel is about four times the size of theirs in terms of rooms and stuff. But last year we sold out probably like 2 months after it opened. So to see some of these events like selling out hotels for the FGC is an awesome thing. And as long as you do a great event, you know, people keep coming back and they'll keep growing when they word of mouth tell their friends about it and all that. So, yeah. So this podcast, you know, again, I'm going to Japan in 2 days. Tomorrow night, I'm going to have my annual Christmas party, which I usually do earlier in the month, but because I was gone for 5 weeks straight, I put it to the end of the month, and it actually kind of works out. I'm like, hey, I'd like to do the gift exchange where, you know, people bring gifts and then you can steal them, they get passed around. But I figured, like, you know what, guys, let's do the get rid of your crappy gifts exchange. So I'm sure people are going to bring stuff they were given that they don't want to exchange and stuff. But besides that, on the event front, I came home. First thing I popped in was Spider-Man PS4. I wanted to check out the Spider-Man 2 costume, and I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was awesome. It wasn't like, to me, it wasn't as epic as everyone's like loving it, but it was just a great soundtrack. The story was awesome. I wish they kind of, you know, every time you see Spider-Man, it's like, is there going to be a Venom appearance and stuff? But it was its own standalone story about Miles Morales, which, you know, is the black teenager Spider-Man, who comes in. He's kind of the same timeline as Spider-Man, but something happens to the Peter Parker Spider-Man and he kind of takes over and gets mentored from him and stuff. But I won't spoil the movie for you if you're not familiar with the Miles Morales storyline and stuff. But I actually bought the the Nike Miles Morales Spider-Man shoes. And I got, these don't really look like Spider-Man shoes. So I ended up reselling them on StockX and stuff. But and I wore them because, I'm 36 years old. These kind of aren't my style. But everyone's loving those shoes and stuff because it's the shoes he wears in the movie as well. But, man, now there's all, on the personal front, there's Bumblebee I need to see. There's Aquaman. This was a really good couple of weeks for movies out of nowhere, to be honest with you. We're all pretty much waiting for Captain Marvel next year and Avengers Endgame and Lion King and Aladdin, or as I like to call it, Aladdin and stuff. So next year is going to be awesome on the entertainment front. I think in gaming and fighting games and esports and movies is just going to be, it's what a time to be alive, have all this entertainment, especially when it takes us out of the shitty world that we're living in with all the drama every day happening. But again, thank you guys for your support throughout all of 2018. One of my favorite years, to date. I think it's only going to get better from here for a lot of people as long as you keep working at it. I'm glad I'm also glad it's over, that, the weight is off my shoulder from doing anything 2018 related with events. I get to relax for the next about, I would say, week and a half. And then once I'm back from Japan, it's full steam ahead to start planning CO 2019, the DreamHack events I'm doing, some other stuff I haven't talked about yet that I get to do from a TO perspective, which I'm really excited about. Once I have the contract signed, I'll get to announce it. And then Mortal Kombat 11 reveal event is going to be in LA. Unfortunately, it's either that or going to Frosty Faustings, which I love going to in Chicago, which when I was told I was getting an invite to this Mortal Kombat reveal event, I'm like, perfect. I can finally go to the NRS studios in Chicago. And if it's the same weekend as Frosty Faustings, perfect. I go an extra day early. Nope. They're like, oh yeah, the event's in LA. I'm like, God dang it. So I'd have to go to LA and then fly to Chicago, and I'm done flying multiple cities in the same days, man. It really takes its toll. So I don't plan to do that again. So I'm going to decide which of those two things to go to. I'm really excited to see Mortal Kombat 11. I think the game's going to do great. I've played every single one, even Shaolin Monks and all the different Sub-Zero story, whatever it's called. It's been a while. MK Trilogy actually probably had the most playtime for me on a home console when it came out on PlayStation 1. And speaking of PlayStation 1, if you guys, I bought the PlayStation Classic day one for $100, and now literally stores are trying to give it away. GameStop has you pay $60 for it now and you get $25 gift card, because it was just a poorly emulated system. It felt like a throwaway system that Sony didn't put time into. So it's a shame, because PlayStation 1 is a reason a lot of us are gamers, I think, if they weren't into the Nintendo or Genesis days. And that was, PlayStation 2, one of the top selling consoles of all time. So Sony's had a couple missteps this year, I think. Hopefully they bounce back, but it's crazy how the gaming industry, it changes every year, but it kind of stays the same. Everything's just a repeat cycle of itself from 10 years ago and whatnot. So, but it's a great time to be alive with so many games. I don't have time to play anything anymore. I can barely play Red Dead. I was playing Overwatch a little bit today when I had a day to relax and stuff, and then I'm going to beat the Spider-Man DLC. But after that, I'm going to go to Japan, play in the arcades, relax a little bit, explore, try to go to Osaka and Kyoto, which is, a couple hours by bullet train away from Tokyo where I'm staying. But I'm excited to go there, kind of just relax, check my Twitter. I'm sure I'll be posting tons of pictures and stuff. But it's also freezing cold. I had to go buy a nice new thick coat today, because it's in the 30s all week there. So, again, hope you guys had a great year. Hope your Christmas was awesome. You got what you wanted. Please have a very happy New Year and very safe New Year's Eve. I try to avoid the parties now and the drunks driving at night. So, again, India, thank you guys so much. Everyone else listening, try to check it out sometime. Hopefully we'll do another event out there, big prize pool and stuff. But India, again, getting the flight there, hotel there might be a little pricey, but once you're there, you can live like a king for $30 a day on food. It's crazy. So thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Japodcast, all about the India trip. Next time, I'm going to try to have a special guest while I'm out in Japan, Kenny Omega. He's going to be busy with Wrestle Kingdom, but we're going to hang out some and hopefully get to sit down and kind of reflect on this year. And then I'll probably have a recap year of CEO, and then another episode about the Achilles heel recovery, man, and how crazy that's been too. I actually was trying to jump today and do jumping jacks, and my foot can handle it. It's just a mental thing of being too scared to put all your weight on it and it's snapping again or something. But it's been getting better by the day. I actually went to the gym today. I got to get back on that track. get my arms back specifically. But it's just, you know, it's crazy. It's more mental now than physical to recover from an injury like that. So God bless everyone who has been dealing with those kind of that kind of an injury. It's really tough to come back from. But I'm pulling through somehow. I'm more driven than ever physically again to get back on track. So hopefully that works out. But again, thanks for listening. Have a great New Year's, and you'll hear me on the next one. Bye.